May I just welcome each one again to our midweek meeting. It's good that we're able to meet once more in this manner, and it's been my prayer that as we gather around God's precious word, that the Lord will minister his truth to your heart in the power of his Spirit. And so just before we read from the Bible and then bring the message, let's just wait upon the Lord in a few moments' prayer. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Father in heaven, we bow before thee. In the worthy name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, we come in the name of our only Redeemer, the one who has redeemed us to God by his own precious blood. And it is on the ground of the blood that we stand by faith. We stand upon redemption ground. And we cry that as we gather around the word of God, that thou wilt be pleased once more by the Spirit to take the word and apply it to our hearts. Lord, thou knowest the word that we need, for thou dost see the state and the condition of each of our hearts. And we beseech thee that thou wilt apply thy word, and that thou wilt speak to us and cause us to hear thy voice and minister to all of our heart's needs. We ask these things humbly and reverently in our Saviour's name and for our Saviour's sake. Amen. We're turning for our scripture reading to the Old Testament scriptures and the book of Psalms. It's Psalm number 87. The 87th Psalm is a very short psalm. It's just seven verses in all. So we're going to read the entire psalm, commencing at verse 1. Let's hear the word of the Lord from Psalm 87. His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This man was born there. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people, that this man was born there. As well the singers as the players on instruments shall be there. All my springs are in thee. Ending at the seventh and last verse, knowing that the Lord will once more add his own blessing to the reading of his precious word, for Christ's sake. Amen. Over in another of the psalms, Psalm number 36, and the ninth verse of that psalm, the psalmist declares, speaking of the Lord, with thee is the fountain of life. With thee is the fountain of life. Those are simple and succinct words, and yet they are words with a tremendous depth of meaning. Spiritual life is truly the possession of all who are believers in Jesus Christ. All who are a new creature, a new creation in him, possess life everlasting. But the fountain of that life is not to be found in the believer's heart. The fountain of that life is not in the creature, but is found alone in the Creator. This fountain of life, is truly a perpetual spring that can never be exhausted. We find that it's available in all of its fullness, available in all of its freeness and freshness, in the one who is full of grace and truth, namely our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Here in this 87th Psalm that we've been reading together, the opening verse states, his foundation is in the holy mountains. God chose to found his earthly temple on the mountains. We can think of Mount Zion and of Mount Moriah. His chosen earthly abode was Jerusalem, the city of God, Mount Zion. The heavenly Jerusalem is really the church of the firstborn, and great is the privilege of all who are born into the church of Jesus Christ, born again of the Spirit of God, born from above. In fact, this 87th Psalm refers to that and makes mention of that, for example, in verse 5. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. We find that the Lord does have particular note for those who are born again of his Spirit and who will inhabit the Jerusalem above. Notice verse 6, the Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there. And then we come to the last verse of the psalm, verse 7. And those who are the Lord's, those who are in Christ, those who possess eternal life in Christ Jesus, they and they only are able to say the words of our text, found at the very end of this 7th verse of the 87th psalm, in the words, all my springs are in thee. Here we can think of the river of God's grace and the springs or the streams that flow from that river, the streams of comfort and peace and salvation, and they're all found in Christ. And they're all found in Christ for his people, for all who are in a saving union with him by faith. That's why the psalmist expresses it this way in the words of our text, all my springs are in thee. Because it's those springs that are found in Christ, and they are for the believing people of God. And so the theme that we want to meditate upon for just a little time is simply the springs of blessing. The springs of blessing, as we have them expressed here in Psalm 87 and verse 7, all my springs are in thee. And as we come to think of the springs of blessing, the first thing I want to draw your attention to is simply their source. And their source is plain and clear here in the text. All my springs are in thee. These words parallel really with Psalm 36, and we commenced our introduction to the message by quoting a verse from that psalm, Psalm 36 and verse 9. Do you remember? For with thee is the fountain of life. But I want you to note the connection of those words in verse 9 of Psalm 36, for with thee is the fountain of life. I want you to notice the connection with the previous verse. Let me read the latter part of the previous verse, verse 8. And thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. Think of those words for just a moment. Thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. And what's the reason for that? Well, the next verse, verse 9, tells us, for, here's the reason, for with thee is the fountain of life. Thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures, for with thee is the fountain of life. Back in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 20, we're told that the Lord is our life. And then Paul, whenever he's writing to the Colossians in chapter 3 and verse 4, speaking of Christ, he says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. But let me go back to those words at the end of the 8th verse. Thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. The river of thy pleasures, thou shalt make them drink. The river here, or the streams of thy pleasures. This reminds us of the streams that watered paradise back in the Garden of Eden. And you say, well, how can you be sure of that? Is there some connection? Is there some link? Well, there is a link here in these words at the end of the 8th verse of Psalm 36. Thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. It's that word, pleasures. In fact, we discover that the word there is Eden. And we're thinking, I hope, in our minds of the Garden of Eden. Only here it's in the plural. That's why it's translated pleasures, not just pleasure. The word Eden means pleasure or delight. But here's the river of thy pleasures, the river of thy delights. Thou shalt make them drink. Now, the verb here, to drink or to make drink, is the very same verb that is used back in the book of Genesis, chapter 2 and verse 10, speaking about Eden. Let me read the verse to you. and a river went out of Eden to water the garden. So the stream or the river of thy pleasures, thou shalt make them drink. The river of God's pleasure, the river of God's delight flows from the one who is the fountain of life. You'll be made to drink, the Lord is saying, because of the one who is the fountain of life. And it is in him that this river is to be found, and the streams flow out to all who are trusting in him, the one who is the fountain of life. If we wanted a very literal translation of those words in verse 8, thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures, it would simply read like this: with the river of thy pleasures, thou shalt make them drink. And the sense is to drink abundantly. Whenever we were studying Psalm 46, didn't we come across a river that was mentioned there? Do you remember that verse in Psalm 46, verse 4? There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. There is a river. The streams of that river will make glad, will cause to rejoice the city of God, those who are in Christ. Back in the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 33, we read there of the final recorded words of Moses just prior to his death. We read about his death coming in the verses towards the end of Deuteronomy chapter 32, where he was to go up to Mount Nebo or Pisgah. And then in chapter 33 of Deuteronomy in verse 1, the chapter opens like this: and this is the blessing. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And as you read down the blessing that he pronounced, when we get down to verse 13, we read concerning Joseph. And the thought has to be in our minds as we read this of the greater Joseph, the Lord Jesus himself. But verse 13 reads of Deuteronomy 33, and of Joseph he said, that is Moses said, blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew, and for the deep that coucheth beneath. The dew and the deep that coucheth beneath. What a blessing. They're blessings, really, aren't they? Blessings from above. The dew coming down from heaven. Blessings from beneath. There is the reviving, the refreshing dew, and there are the resourceful springs that spring up from beneath, from the height to the depth. And really, that distance is immeasurable, and it symbolizes the eternal, infinite source of the river of blessing for the people of God. And what streams there are that flow from that river of God's blessing in Christ. There are the streams of eternal love. He set his love upon us in eternity. There are those streams of electing grace when we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And there are those streams of everlasting mercy. Ah, the mercy of the Lord endureth forever. It's from everlasting to everlasting. Do you see the source of the springs of blessing? It's found in Christ, and in Christ alone, and in none other. But then we must move on from the source of the springs of blessing to consider just for a little time the suitability of the springs of blessing. The springs of blessing are always in keeping with what the Lord has revealed to us in his own word. I'm thinking in particular of some verses over in the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 11. Listen to the verse first of all, and then we'll comment upon it. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. Here is God's supernatural, superabundant blessing in the very language of our theme, for our theme is simply the springs of blessing. And here are blessings such that we will be like a watered garden, and we will be like a spring of water in times whenever we would expect perhaps not to survive, in times of drought. And this verse 11 speaks about that. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought, in times of dryness, in times of barrenness. The Lord is going to come and meet the need. There's going to be a stream of blessing that will flow to us. That's really what the text is telling us, such that we'll be like a watered garden. And this is a figure of speech, like a watered garden. It's really a simile. It's portraying a figure of blessing and of richness of supply. For don't we read that the righteous are like a tree planted by the rivers of water? Now in the opening chapter of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 30, we find there that Isaiah is speaking concerning Israel, concerning the people of God, and he's likening them to a garden that has no water. You could imagine what a garden would soon be like if there's no water supply, if there's no water available. Like a garden, water is not in it. That's the literal reading of the words there in Isaiah 1 verse 30. Like a garden, water is not in it. That which is essential for growth, to sustain life, is lacking. And it was missing due to Israel's backsliding and due to Israel's sin and departure from the Lord. Like a watered garden, like a spring of water. That's what verse 11 here of Isaiah 58 says. You remember, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. The literal words read like this, like the place of the going out of water. That's suggesting to us that it's ever abounding, it's continuous, and you see there's always a suitability of supply. So there's that suitability of supply that comes from that river of God's pleasure, God's delight found in Christ, the streams whereof flow to us as his children, as the people of God. And it's always suitable when we're climbing to new heights with God. We'll get the supply that's suitable. And then if we're looking to climb higher, but we find for one reason or other we're still in the valley, we're not climbing the mountain the way we wanted to or the way we should, we find ourselves down, down, deep in the valley, then there will be a suitability of supply for us there from the springs of blessing that we have in Christ Jesus. I'm thinking in particular of another psalm. It's just before the one that we have read from. It's the one we read from was Psalm 87. But I'm thinking of Psalm 84. And this is a psalm that has particular relevance to what we're thinking of in this message, but it's also got particular relevance to the situation that we find ourselves in because of these restrictions placed upon us due to the coronavirus. And here is the psalmist in Psalm 84. And the psalm opens like this: How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. He's thinking much about the house of God, the tabernacles of the Lord. And then he says in verse 2, My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. He's unable to get to the house of God. And yet in his heart, he's longing to get there. He wants to be there. He's got a desire to get to God's house once more. And is there not that longing and desire in all of our hearts as the people of God to get back to God's house once again, to meet with one another in fellowship, yes, but most of all to come and corporately worship the Lord? But yet we can't just at the moment. But there is nevertheless the longing, the desire that was found here in the heart of the psalmist. And then as we go further down Psalm 84, verse 3, he's thinking about the birds. He's thinking about the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts. Oh, even the birds, the fowls of the air, they're unhindered. They can even go and lodge there at the house of God. They can go without any let or hindrance, but the psalmist couldn't, and yet his heart is there. He says in verse 4, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, for those who are able to go on this occasion. And the psalmist isn't. He's thinking, well, those who get there to the house of God, they will be praising thy name. But coming further down this Psalm 84, those who would be journeying, let's read from verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them who passing through the valley of Baca. Passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. The valley of Baca is often spoken of as the valley of weeping. And sometimes we feel as if we're in the valley of weeping. Perhaps you're in that place even now. You're in that valley where you have shed many tears over a particular situation that has been confronting you. And you feel as if you're very, very far down in that valley. And yet in such a place and in such a condition, there is going to be the suitable supply from the river of God's pleasure. Yes, all my springs are in thee. That's our text. That's what the psalmist said in Psalm 87. And it's what we can still say, even though we may feel that we're down in the valley, facing many difficulties, meeting with many, many problems. Even in the valley of tears, they could find their strength renewed, and they did, because they were passing through the valley of Baca, and they made it a well. The rain also filled the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. So they were getting their strength renewed. They were finding support was being given, and they were being encouraged by the Lord. And you be encouraged by our text. All my springs are in thee, and there will be that suitable supply, not only on the mountaintop experience, but also in the valley, even the valley of tears, even the valley of weeping and of sorrow. I think of another verse in Psalm 138, verse 3. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. Because remember, God isn't a Pharaoh. God isn't a Pharaoh. You'll have strength for your work and in your work. You'll find strength. The Lord will give that in your time of trial and in your time of difficulty. Another portion in the prophecy of Isaiah that springs to mind is in Isaiah chapter 41. In fact, two verses here in the 41st chapter of Isaiah, verses 17 and 18. Let me read them to you. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. Did you hear those words? Fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. This is what the Lord has promised, and this is what the Lord will do. He will give springs of water, even in the valley experience. In fact, he'll give an abundant supply. It will be just suited to your exact need. We're thinking about the suitability of the springs of blessing. And that brings me to mention to you something from the book of Judges. In Judges chapter 1, maybe you've already begun to think of it in your mind, because over in that portion of God's word, first chapter of Judges, we read concerning Othniel. And you remember Othniel, who is really a type of Christ. He was Caleb's nephew, and he obtained Caleb's daughter to wife, Caleb's daughter Aksah. And let me read the verses to you. Verse 14, "And it came to pass, when she came to him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field. And she lighted from off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, What wilt thou? And she said unto him, Give me a blessing, for thou hast made me a south land. Give me also springs of water." This is her plea. This is her request. This is her cry. This is her prayer. "And Caleb gave her the upper springs and the nether springs." She knew that she would be in such a languishing condition, having been given a south land, but not having any water. And so she makes the request. And that request is heard, that request is responded to and given, answered. And there was an answer in abundance, because there were the upper and the nether, the upper and the lower springs were given to her. And that was just what she needed. It was so suitable. So you can be encouraged in your own heart as you think about the source of the springs of blessing, and also about the suitability of the springs of blessing. But that brings me then in the third place to make mention of the song of the springs of blessing. And that takes us once more to the prophecy of Isaiah. We've been quite a number of references in Isaiah's prophecy as we've thought upon this theme, and we come to a final one in Isaiah. This time it's Isaiah chapter 12. And here we have in the opening verses of this 12th chapter the thought on verse 1 of the Lord's anger being turned away. "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me." And can't we thank the Lord and praise him that as his people, his anger has been turned away from us. Now instead of the curse, we have the comfort of the Lord. His anger was turned away from us to Christ, and he bore the wrath of God in our place as our substitute. Yes, he is truly the author and the accomplisher of our salvation. That's why Isaiah says in verse 2 of chapter 12, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." Drawing water out of the wells of salvation and doing it with joy, doing it with gladness, as you think upon the goodness of the Lord and the mercy of the Lord and the faithfulness of the Lord and how good he is. The Lord is good, and he is good to us as the people of God. And therefore, it is right that in our hearts there should be that song of praise for the springs of blessing that are ours in him. But there's one more scripture reference that I must refer to, and this time it's in the book of Numbers. In fact, it's Numbers chapter 21 and verse 17. The words are these: "Then Israel sang this song." Here's a song. And what is it? "Spring up, O well, sing ye unto it." Spring up, O well, sing ye unto it. This is the song that Israel sang. And it was a song that was calculated to acknowledge two things. It was calculated to acknowledge the miracle and also the memory. The miracle of the well that God gave them, and also not only the miracle but the memory of that well, for they could never forget it. They always wanted to remember it. And so here's their song in verse 17. Spring up, ascend. That's what the word really means. Spring, ascend. Spring up, ascend up, O well. Sing ye unto it. And the verb sing there has this thought contained within it of singing one after another. And isn't it right and good for the people of God to be singing in praise to the Lord one after another, just as they did at the Red Sea, that we read of the song there in Exodus 15 and verse 21. Yes, you're to sing unto it, that verse says in Numbers 21. Sing to it. The verb here, sing, also means to answer. Answer to it. Not only to answer to it or sing to it, but also to answer of it or sing of it. Those two things are contained here in this word. They didn't ask for the well, but they were wanting that well to spring up. And haven't we got the well of God's word? Haven't we got the well of Scripture to read and to meditate? And we should be having that song in our hearts, and we should be saying, spring up, O well. Spring up, ascend up, so that we might draw from the streams of the deep well of Scripture that would refresh our hearts, refresh our souls, and revive our spirits. And so here in Numbers 21, when Israel was singing, spring up, O well, if they sang it after the well had been dug, it was a memorial celebrating the goodness of the Lord. And if they sang those words before the well had been dug, it was just revealing their faith in the promise of God. And God had given a promise in the previous verse. Here in Numbers 21, we find in verse 16, that the Lord spake unto Moses, gather the people together, and I will give them water. Then Israel sang this song, spring up, O well, sing ye unto it. Let it spring up. Let it ascend up into our hearts and into our memories, that it would never be forgotten. Just in the same sense and in the same way, as we read in Jeremiah 51 and verse 50, where we're to remember the Lord afar off, and we're to let Jerusalem come into our mind. That means to ascend upon our hearts. And you see, as we think of the springs that are in the Lord, and all our springs are in Him, isn't that our text? In Psalm 87 and verse 7, all my springs are in Thee. Oh, let that come into our minds, and let us then have the song of praise unto our God for that supply that we have, that no one can quench, that no one can stop. The only way it is quenched is because of our sin and our coldness of heart and our backslidings. But if we are those who are going on with God and going through with God, then we will raise this song in our souls, and we will sing unto Him, and we will praise His high and His holy name, as we have it coming again into our minds and ascending upon our hearts, that all our springs are in Him. May the Lord be pleased to bless His own precious word to all of our hearts, for Christ's sake. Amen. Just in a moment we'll have a word of prayer. May I say again, as I've said in the past, that If you have any spiritual concerns, do feel free to make contact with me, and I'd be glad to help you in whatever way I possibly can. I know I'm unable to visit round in the congregation at the moment during the pulpit vacancy because of the restrictions, but nevertheless I do remember you all at the throne of grace in prayer, and I trust that in your own homes you're finding much sweetness in the Lord's presence as you read his word, as you spend time with him at the throne of grace, even in the secret place. And if you reward him, then he has promised to reward you. So we will look to him, and we will ask the Lord that he will meet with us and continue to bless us and pour of his Spirit upon us, and that very soon in his will we'll be able once again to meet in God's house and engage in corporate worship to his praise and to his glory. So let's come before the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God and Father in heaven, again we draw nigh to thee in the worthy name of our Saviour. We thank thee for the one who is our Redeemer, the one who lived that perfect life for us, and the one who died that atoning death. We thank thee that he shed his precious blood, that blood that cleanseth from all sin. And, O God, we seek a fresh application of the blood, for we know it is only the blood that can cleanse from sin. And we would ask that we would know the blood applied. Lord, we come before thee, and we do come to raise our Ebenezer, to give thee thanks for the help that thou hast been, for thou hast remembered us, thou hast not forgotten us. And we thank thee that again thou hast privileged us and spared us to gather around thy precious word. And we thank thee for this theme that we've been meditating upon, that all our springs are in thee. Oh, we thank thee for the river of thy pleasures. We thank thee for the streams that flow out, those streams of grace, those streams that come to revive us and to refresh us, not only when we're seeking to climb heights with God, but those times when we're down in the valley and down in the depths. O God, we thank thee that there is a suitability of supply in the springs that are there in Christ for us. We rejoice that thou hast not abandoned us, that thou hast not left us to ourselves, but, O God, thou hast provided a full and a free salvation, and we thank thee that thou hast that providential care of us each one as thy children. O, we bless thee that we can commit ourselves to thee, and we can commit our way unto thee, and we know that thou dost care for us. Again, we bring thy work before thee in connection with the congregation in Londonderry. We thank thee for the people of God. We thank thee for all of thine own dear children. And Lord, thou knowest each one, and thou knowest each one and the condition that each one is facing because of these restrictions. We cry to thee that thou wilt draw nigh, that, O God, each of thy believing people will be very conscious in these days of thy presence, of thy nearness, that they will know times and seasons of refreshing from the right hand of the Lord. They will prove the all-sufficiency of thy grace, and they will also prove that what thou hast promised in thy word, thou dost most certainly fulfil. We thank thee for the word of God. We thank thee that thy word is the lamp to our feet and the light unto our path. And in these days of great uncertainty and chaos and confusion and even spiritual darkness, O God, we thank thee that we have the light of thy word, this word that changeth not, this word that is forever settled in heaven. And we ask, O God, that this thine own word will find a resting place, an abiding place in each of our hearts. We ask, O God, that thou wilt bless in this coming Lord's Day. Grant that as the word goes forth in the word of testimony, oh, that there will be a blessing received from the people of God, and for those who would listen in and watch on who are unsaved. O God, we ask that thou would speak to their hearts, that they might be brought to consider their ways and prepare to meet their God. We pray for thy blessing upon not only the local congregation, but all of our congregations. And O God, we pray that thou wilt bless all of thy faithful servants as they endeavour to minister forth the word of life. We pray that in these days we would know an outpouring of the Spirit of God, and grant, Lord, that we will have that burden for prayer. We will know what it is to wait upon thee, and to earnestly seek thy face, believing thy word, that if we do so and we forsake our sin and we humble ourselves before thee, that thou wilt hear from heaven and that thou wilt answer our prayer. O grant that even in the midst of all that is happening around us, we might know a time of refreshing and a season of reviving, even in the midst of the years. We pray that thou wilt bless our sister denominations in North America and also in Nepal. O God, we pray that thou wilt meet with each of thy servants and that thou wilt bless the people of God, bless thy persecuted church across this world. There are so many of thine own dear children, and they're suffering greatly for their faith, all because they have professed the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, we would commit them to thee, and we ask, O God, that they will prove thy grace, and they will know thy nearness, and they will also realize that thou art the one who has promised never to leave them nor forsake them. We remember our missionaries. We pray for them. We ask, O God, that thou wilt keep each one of them safe, that thou wilt watch over them night and day, and that thy blessing will rest upon their work and their labours in the gospel of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we commit ourselves to thee and our way to thee. We ask that thou wilt keep us each one in the fear of God, looking on to the one who is the author and finisher of our faith. For we do ask all these things in Jesus' name and for our Saviour's sake. Amen.